Okay, Bible and Daily Lifers, here we are. We are going through the New Testament in a year. We're going a chapter a day, and we're getting most of the words in each chapter. We're moving as fast as we can, and sometimes we don't get everything, but we get most. And so the parts that we don't get, go back and read it. So we're actually starting chapter 5 and chapter 4, and we're going to read an account. Starting with verse 35 in chapter 4. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side." The other side of what? The other side of the lake. Leaving the crowds behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. So little entourage of boats with Jesus. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat, so they were nearly swamped. Now the Sea of Galilee, if you ever have the opportunity to go there, it sort of sits in a bowl. And I've been there before when one of these squalls would come up. You're there and everything is sort of calm. And then the winds come in and start stirring that up. And it can stir it up pretty serious. Now, the time I saw the squall come in and start stirring it up, it stirred it up pretty good, but it wasn't a real serious storm. But they say that sometimes it comes in just as these furious storms, almost instantaneously. You're surprised that it's happening. But if you see the way the Sea of Galilee is like that bowl, it's easy to understand how it could happen quickly. Jesus was at the stern, sleeping on a cushion, and the disciples welcomed him, and they said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Now, these are experienced fishermen, and they're afraid, so there's a big storm. He got up, he rebuked the wind and the waves, and here's what he said, "Quiet, be still." The wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you have no faith?" And they were terrified, and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now, it seems a little harsh that Jesus said that, you know, "Why were you so afraid? Don't you have any faith?" Well, the reason is because Jesus told them they were going to the other side of the lake. If Jesus tells you you're going to the other side of the lake, you know where you're going? You're going the other side of the lake. So just learning to trust Jesus and learning to believe him. And really what he's saying is, you know, haven't you learned how to believe yet? We've seen all of these things. You've seen miracles. You've seen me come through over and over. Hopefully they'll get it. Hopefully we'll get it. Now, he takes this entourage with his disciples and the other boats, and he goes across to the other side of the lake of the Sea of Galilee. And then he gets here, chapter 5, verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes, or the Gadarenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This guy's out living in the graveyard. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. So it seems like this guy has gotten worse and worse and worse, and they've tried to control him, and he's totally out of control. Nobody can contain this man. He's out of control. He has no control over himself, and nobody can control him. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore him apart and broke the irons on his feet. Nobody was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself, self-destructive. The Bible says that Satan has come to rob and kill and to destroy. He wants to destroy this man, take away his dignity, take away his life. This guy is crying out, screaming, yelling. Nobody can subdue the man. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and he fell on his knees in front of him. And he shouted out at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." This man was demon-possessed. And it happened gradually. You see, they could no longer control him. They've tried before, and he's getting worse and worse and worse. It's the Faustian bargain that you give yourself to the devil. Supposedly, Robert Johnson, the blues player in the 20s, gave his soul to the devil at the crossroads and got his tremendous gift. Well, when Robert Johnson died, supposedly poisoned by a jealous wife or a jealous husband, poisoned in a bar is what his mother said, he cried out and he said, Jesus of Nazareth, I know that my Redeemer will come and rescue me from the grave. And so he ends up giving his life to Christ. But the Faustian bargain is, in the myth or the fact of Robert Johnson giving his soul to the devil, is when we give ourselves over to get something else, whatever we've given ourselves over to, it overpowers us. when we give ourselves over in order to gain power or in order to gain acceptance, in order to gain whatever it is, we lose a part of ourselves where now that power is controlling us. The power we looked for is now controlling us. And this man is controlled by demons. And Jesus said, "What's your name?" Probably talking to the man. And when he talked to the man said, "My name is Legion." Well, that's a lot of Roman soldiers, Legion. And he said, "Because we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again to not send him out of the area. Now, Jesus is talking to demons now. This man is inhabited by demons, by evil spirits. And a large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. And the demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs and allow us to go into them." And he gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. Because demons are disembodied spirits, and they're looking for a body. They want to wreak havoc. And they want to wreak havoc in a body. And when they go into the body of the pigs, they wreak havoc in the pigs. Jesus gave him permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down a steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Well, those tending the pigs ran off and reported all this in the countryside, and the people went out to see what happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. This guy used to take off his clothes and cut himself up and scream and yell and be a nuisance. Now he's got his mind back. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and the pigs as well. And the people pleaded with Jesus to leave. They wanted Jesus out of there. They didn't like what Jesus was doing, probably because they didn't like the money that was lost in these pigs, which they shouldn't have been doing anyway. That's a long story with Jewish people. They were not supposed to be having herds of pigs. And as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. This guy wants to go. And Jesus says to him, "No, you can't come." Instead, he said, "Go home to your own people and tell them what the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So this guy, rather than joining the band of disciples, rather than going to school with Jesus, Jesus tells him, "Go home, go to your family." You see, one of the things that happens when Jesus forgives our sins and when he restores us is he restores us to our families. He restores us to normality. He restores us to social life. This guy's social life was shot. This guy's family life was shot. This guy's relational life was shot. And Jesus has now healed him, has now delivered him. And when he delivers us, he sends us back to be productive, to have relationship, to experience love, to experience peace between people. And so Jesus sends him back. Isn't that amazing? I love that. And so the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. So this guy becomes the evangelist in the region, starts to tell everybody what's going on all over the place. Now, there's something else interesting if we read just to the next verse. Verse 21, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. And then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came in to see him. You see what happened here? In chapter 4, Jesus has his whole entourage, and they cross the lake. It's no small thing to cross that lake. It's quite the lake. And so they cross the lake, and they're on the other side. When they get to the other side, this man whose life has been shattered, this self-destructive man who's being destroyed by the devil, dismantled by the devil. He's dismantling his life. He's dismantling his personality. He's taking him apart piece by piece by piece, you know, looking to destroy the man. Well, Jesus comes on this boat with this entourage, encounters this man, and heals this man. The man wants to go with him. Jesus says, "No, go back home. Tell everybody what's happened to you." After this event, it tells us in verse 21 that Jesus gets in the boat and goes back the other way again. Jesus did all of this travel, all of this for one person, for one person. This is similar to the parable that Jesus tells about the guy who had 100 sheep and he lost one and he went looking for that one sheep. That's what Jesus is like. What's Jesus like? He goes looking for that one sheep. He goes looking for the Gadarene demoniac. He spends all of that time, all of that energy, all of that effort, all of the money that's involved in that to go and to heal this man. And when he heals the man, the people there reject him. But the man doesn't reject him. Jesus finds this one man and restores his life and transforms his life and changes him, and he belongs to Jesus in eternity. That's what Jesus is like. I love this account. And so read the rest because you see what else Jesus is like. So Bible and Daily Life, find us wherever you find us. Find us on YouTube. Find us on iTunes. Find us where podcasts are. Find us BibleandDailyLife.com. Find us on Facebook, The Bible and Daily Life. Hey, bless you guys. You are loved by God. You are loved by God. You are loved by God. You're a treasure to God.